Going good now. All right, guys. So with that said, we want to thank you for coming on out here tonight. We hope and pray that you're having a good week. And amen. How's everybody's weekend going? Do we have some thumbs up? Yeah, thumbs up. It's Friday. Oh, weekend. Okay, so it's the end of the week, right? Or all right. Sister Eileen is tripping me up tonight. She's tripping me up tonight. That's all right. There's grace, amen. There's grace, amen. So anyways, praise the Lord, guys. I just want to thank you for coming on out to church on a Friday night. It always is a blessing to see you guys here. And before we get started, as usual, we're just going to go ahead and go over our announcements here. And so if you guys could look up to the screen, I'm sure to appreciate that. And so we're going to go ahead and do that now. So if you can just give me a second here as I continue to go through this, we'll go ahead and check this out. So I'm just trying to work through all of our technical glitches here. So if you guys could just forbear with me as I continue to do that. So, all right. Almost there. There we go. Okay. All right. So just want to do some quick announcements. Once again, you guys know that we've been announcing it to you guys for November the 1st. November the 1st, if you are interested in joining Brother Carlos and my wife to our church trip to Fontana, California, I'm going to be going out there to preach at another church. I know some of you have been asking for the details, so I'm just going to let you know again. You can join us. Let us know in advance so we can plan together for the carpool. It's going to be on the 1st. The address is on our church website, but get in touch with my wife or I if you plan on joining us. We are going to most likely leave here at 3 o'clock. So I'm giving you guys announcements in advance. And I'm pointing to somebody up in here. You know what I'm saying? She knows who she is. Weeks in advance. If you can just make sure that you'll be available at 3 o'clock. Amen. You know who you are out there. Then we'll have a good time for that day. And keep me in prayer. Amen. It's a blessing that I'm having these opportunities to go preach at other churches and be a blessing to minister to them the word of God, and just be an encouragement to them with where they're at in their walk with the Lord, and whatever the Lord can use me for to be an edification. It sure is a blessing that I am able to minister in that realm. Amen. So that's for the 1st of November. And of course, you guys already know this Saturday, we're going to go soul winning, but we're going to go a little bit earlier. We were just invited to go show some love for little Diego. He has a choir concert. Amen. So he knows we love him. He knows we care about him. And we want to show some love and support by being there to show him that we care about him. So we're going to be there at 12 o'clock. So if you're able to soul win with us, it should be a blessing to have you go out with us tomorrow. My wife and I, we're going to go from 10 to 11. 10 to 11 before the choir practice, or I'm sorry, the choir concert. And then we'll make our way over there to go support Diego. So if you're able to join us tomorrow, 10 to 11, and then we'll go fellowship with Diego. And then after that, guys, we're going to call it, at least for my wife and I, we're not going to do the public outreach at the downtown because we're going to go to Tijuana to visit some family. And then next Saturday on the 29th, that is usually the last Saturday of the month. I'd like to take a personal day off with my wife and I. As you guys know, we are out there every Saturday, every other Thursday. We are soul winning. We love it. We do it. And we just want to take one day so we can relax and then continue to go forth from there. Amen. So for some of you guys who have opportunities for soul winning, again, I just want to remind you in love as your pastor. I'm just trying to stir you up. I'm trying to be an encourager to you, and I want you to bear fruit. So that way, when you get to that judgment seat of Christ, amen, you'll have a little something, a little reward, amen. So with that said, as I said before, if you have a day off during the week from work and you're unable to go with us on Saturdays because you work, call Brother Carlos. My wife and I will go with you for 1 hour. Just go door knocking with us. Let's go put in some work for our Lord as you and I put in 40 hours plus to the world, to the mammon of unrighteousness. Put a little bit of work in for your Savior. Amen. And I'm telling you, you start building those habits now and sacrificing for the Lord now while you're still young in the Lord and young in physical age, you're going to have a very, very blessed Christian life for the long haul because you're going to be building that maturity and that godly character now as you guys are young. Amen. So you guys already know that. You know who you are out there. Call Brother Carlos, Sister Katie. We will be here to assist you. Study blogs, again, you guys can check up on anytime online. I hope that those blogs are a blessing to you and a resource to help you in your faith and your walk with the Lord. Ministry opportunities, soul winning, and join us when you can Saturdays every other Thursday. We had a great time. Praise God. We had a surprise visit. We had Sister Eileen and Brother Manny. They joined us. My wife and I got out there a little earlier. Amen. And so usually we wait for some of you guys to let us know if you're going to be able to join us for that Thursday. But when we don't get word, we go out there a little earlier now. And like I told you guys last Sunday, it's going to start getting darker soon. So our Thursday outreach, we want to start going from 5:30 to 6:30 because it just gets dark. And y'all already know what happens at night. Amen. And so it gets a little crazy out there. Amen. So we just want to protect our women who are able to go. So again, for those Thursday outreach, let me know the Wednesday before. When you come to church, just say, hey, Brother Carlos, I'll be able to go with you or not. That way we can wait for you here. We can carpool. But again, for those surprise visits, we do appreciate that. I know Brother Manny did ask me. He forgot to respond back to the message. But thank God that you guys went out there. It meant a lot to me. And afterward, we had a good fellowship at a Chinese restaurant. And we were able to minister to an old high school friend, Brother Manny and I. That was a blessing. Keep Manuel in prayer. Oh, no, Miguel. Miguel's his name. Keep Miguel in prayer. It was an awesome time last night. So I was very encouraged to see Sister Eileen and Brother Manny down there just being a blessing, serving the Savior, trying to tell people about Jesus Christ. And so please join us when you can for those ministry opportunities. You guys already know live stream. When you get a chance, please subscribe to the YouTube channel, share it, and like it. And last but not least, if you're a member of this church, hope you are, you can remain faithful in your giving anytime between you and God. We have a box back there online between you and God. Amen. It almost sounds like it's raining, but I think it's just the fan. I was like, that's kind of cool. All right. Okay, guys. So with that said, we are now for our Friday night discipleship class. You guys know how we do it. This says is our night. We just study together through our one book, Rightly Divided. So I hope you have the study material with you. One book, Rightly Divided. If you do not, that's okay. You have the better book. You have the best book. You have the Bible. I just hope that you're here with your heart. You're here with your mind. And you hear with your ears. Amen. So that way you guys can benefit from tonight's Bible study. I sure am happy to see all you guys here tonight, but as we've been learning together here at church recently, it's not about just physically being here. You want to be here with your heart. You want to be here with your mind. And if your heart is not here and if your mind is not here, guys, most likely you're going to leave through them doors the same way you came in. So every time we come to church, every time the doors are open, just come with a little bit of desire to say, God, here I am. I may not want to be here, just like we talked about Wednesday, but God, help me to want to be here. Help me to want to love you. Help me to want to study the Bible. Help me to want to learn. Help me to want a soul win, and God will help you. But you just got to ask him. Amen. You just got to ask him. Okay, so we're on page 560 of the big book, 560. If you guys have it, please turn it with me. If you don't have it, huddle up to somebody who does. Amen. And if they smell next to you, that's all right. Just huddle up anyways. Y'all are family. Y'all can get through it. Amen. All right, we're at the bottom, page 560 in our study book. Let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Thank you, God, for allowing us to gather here once again for our Friday night discipleship class. I pray that the saints would be edified, your children here who have trusted Jesus Christ, so they can learn that much more of what the Bible teaches, so the knowledge they gain would be used to help other Christians to believe the Bible that much more. We don't want to use our knowledge to beat other Christians up for what they don't know. We want to use our knowledge to edify other Christians with what they don't know, so that what they could know would help them to be a stronger Christian, a stronger witness for you, and a church member to help others to be excited to serve Jesus. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Oh, God, we also want to intercede on behalf of Sister Kina, Lord, for her health. Would you please continue to watch over her and her recovery? Give grace to Brother Giovanni as he ministers to his wife, meet her needs. We also pray for all of our other church members who may be on their way or haven't been here in a couple of weeks. We pray that you'd watch over them tonight as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, I'm on page 560. For those of you who have been joining us now for this new study, we have just been talking about the promise that God gave the nation of Israel, and how he is going to fulfill the promise that he gave them for their deliverance from all their enemies one day, and for a salvation to come to them as a whole nation. So ever since Jesus Christ came to the earth the first time, he died for the sins of the whole world, not just Israel. He was crucified, and he rose from the dead 3 days later. Amen. After that, he ascended back to God the Father, and since then, he's been building what we call the church. And if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have been added to this body of believers. It's an entirely new group of people. It is not of this world. It is called the body of Christ, the church. In the body of Christ, in the church, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither male nor female. We're all one in Christ spiritually, because Jesus Christ represents us as the head of this new nation, as head of this new people before God the Father. But while on the earth, ethnically speaking, and in the future days after the church is raptured, God is still going to fulfill all the promises he gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not only for them to inherit the land, but also for them to be nationally revived and born again at once. But there's going to be a very, very small amount of those Hebrews that are going to be saved. But nevertheless, God is going to fulfill this promise. So that's what we're talking about, the nation of Israel. And let it be said, guys, that the church is not Israel, and Israel is not the church. We do not replace her promises. They have nothing to do with our promises, but we are blessed to have the same Messiah to be the Savior and have the same King to whom we get to serve, regardless of how one looks at it. Those are the things that we both can benefit of the Jews, because salvation is of the Jews, according to Jesus in John chapter 4. All right, so would you do me a favor now? And let's go ahead and read now 560, bottom paragraph. And here it is, gathering together. Now, after the world suffers tribulation described in the first 28 verses of Matthew 24, the focus turns to the cosmic disturbances. Sometime thereafter, the Lord will return to earth. However, prior to his return, he will send angels to gather the elect from all over the world. Plainly stated, this gathering is not a rapture, Matthew 24:31. A rapture implies that people depart the earth, and there is no indication here that anyone leaves the earth for heaven. In the corresponding passage found in Mark 13, the writer expressed the same gathering and then defined the meaning of being gathered from the four winds. It is a gathering from the uttermost part of earth to the uttermost part of heaven. So let's look at that together now. If you have a Bible, would you open it up with me? And let's go to Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew 24, and then we will go to Mark 13. Now, this is a very unique portion of Scripture, and the reason why it's unique is because it has to deal a lot with future prophecies. And some Christians have begun to interpret these Scriptures in light of the church, and has caused a whole ruckus of division and problems as it pertains to Christian interpretation and application. What we want to do is allow the Bible to interpret itself, and that's the good news about coming to a church like ours, where we read the Bible and we interpret Scripture with Scripture. We don't want to insert into the text any idea, people group, promises that are not there. Rather, we want to grab the ideas out of the text and then just regurgitate it back to you for the understanding. And so what happens is a lot of Christians will go back to the gospel books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they'll do their best to put the church in there somewhere, when yet there was no church built as we know it today. And towards the end of John 20, 21, one can argue that when Jesus breathed on them the Spirit of God, the church as we know it, the body of Christ, began. I think that's safe and reasonable to say. But all the church doctrine began later on after his ascension. So what we have, generally speaking, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the biography of Jesus Christ, his dealings with the Hebrew people, reaching out, his fulfillment of the promises as the Messiah, the healings, the miracles to prove to Israel that he truly was the Messiah, he truly was the King awaited, and he truly was God manifest in the flesh. But all the church doctrine and the building up was in mystery or some type form or if you will, taught in parables. And yet we can gain that understanding once we get to the New Testament doctrine, generally speaking, from Romans to Revelation. So with that said, let's read this together now, and then let's see if we can actually identify this ourselves. So hope you have your Bible open to Matthew 24. We're going to start reading from verse number 1. Okay, so let me give you guys a quick nugget of discipleship. As I've been wanting to disciple more of our men to be apt to teach, here's a quick nugget. Number 1, before or after the cross? That's a very good filter when you're reading your Bible. So, is Matthew chapter 24 before or after the cross of Christ? It is before. Take that into an account. That's going to help you to just understand, is there even a church yet built? No. And so now you can begin to understand, okay, so now I'm going to be careful before I start just pulling everything out and saying, oh, there's church here, there's church there. That's all. So that's a very good point. That's just a free nugget. Now look at verse 1. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. So, side nugget number 2, observe the text. You guys went to public school. What are the 5 W's, Diego, when you're reading a book? Yep. Oh, what are the 5 W's? Remember how they teach you in language arts, English? I'll give you a free one. Who? And then there's the silent H. There you go. I kid you not, guys. If you apply that to Bible study, the Bible will become that much more open to your intellectual understanding. Aside from your heart for God, you're going to intellectually understand. So now here we have it. Who is verse 1 describing? What's the context? Jesus. He's alive on the earth. This is before the cross. Number 2, there is a temple. The temple is still standing at this time. In 70 AD, the temple was destroyed by the Romans. Number 3, his disciples, they were asking him about the building of the temple. So there's still a temple in structure and it's built. So therefore, this is before the destruction of the temple. This is his first advent while he was still on the earth with his disciples. You see how you can begin to explain the Bible a little bit better? So that's it. I'm giving you guys some free nuggets for Bible study. Look at verse 2. Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? So he is talking to them about the temple that's standing. Real quick, there's nothing too deep about that, right? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now that's going to be the future. The temple will be destroyed. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Those are three questions. I don't know if you guys are following along now, but now they asked him three questions concerning what? Verse number 2, just keep it in context. When is that going to happen, Jesus? Number 2, what's going to be the sign of thy coming? And number 3, the end of the world. Now try your best to go back into that mindset. There's nothing wrong with that. By trying your best to be in the context of what you're reading. In other words, if you're a disciple, you're hanging out there in Jerusalem, you see the building, and then your rabbi just said something radical, what is going to be naturally in your mind? Are you thinking about the future? Are you thinking about what he just stated? When is that going to happen, Jesus? So, you know, just there's nothing wrong with trying to read into that to understand a little bit more where could the disciples be coming from that motivates their questions. So now here he says in verse number 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Now that's a good statement. And now I know we're reading it in context. I know this is before the cross. There's still a temple. He's talking to them while he's on the Mount of Olives. But that's a good verse to just apply to you all the time. Amen. Don't let no man deceive you. How can you avoid being deceived, brother and sister? Just trust the Bible 100% of the time. Even if your feelings go contrary or some guy, trust the Bible. Amen. All right. Now, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So before he starts answering the questions, he begins to give them warnings. He begins to warn them about false teachers. He begins to warn them about false doctrine, false teachings, before he gives them the truth. That's a good thing to consider. All right, now verse 6, ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So your world right now for application, brother and sister, all you got to do is look on the YouTube feed, turn the TV on, look at the cable news. What do you hear? Wars, 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 rumors of wars. Guys, that's been happening for 2,000 years. Now to the Bible-believing Christian, we know that Jesus said that's going to happen, but the end is not yet. So Christian, you shouldn't become overwhelmed with stress or sadness or depression when you hear about some other country wanting to beat up another country, and all of a sudden you think Jesus is coming back. Guys, that has been happening for 2,000 years. So don't become overconsumed by all those guys. Now, the reason he warns you, if you go to verse number 5, about the deception. Right now, there are a lot of supposed Christian authors and prophets that are putting out books talking about Jesus is coming. And they write these books. And they say, well, look at the blood moon and look at the stars and look at all that blah, blah, blah. No, fool. Look at the Bible. Go win souls. Be busy serving Christ. Don't worry about the politics. Don't worry about the government. You worry about being an obedient Christian. So now let's keep reading. Verse 7. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places, period. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say right before the rapture. He didn't say right before my second coming. It's going to happen. All these natural things, all these natural catastrophes, all these things are going to continue to take place. These are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Again, the disciples, they're listening to this. And shall kill you. Imagine if you and I were one of those disciples. Oh, man, that's not what I wanted to hear. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Well, how about that? So much for being a follower of Jesus. Amen. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Haven't people been hating each other for a long time? Oh, yes, they have. Haven't people been betraying one another for the sake of money and the love of money? Oh, yes, they have. But as it gets closer, it's just going to abound more and more and more. And friend, you see that right now. Children kill their parents. Parents kill their children. I'm telling you, friend, it's happening now. But again, look at verse 11. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. So he's talking about that. He's warning you. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So sin, guys, it's just going to continue to run rampant before Jesus Christ returns to this earth. It's just going to continue to go way, way, way bad. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, before you read into that text, oh, look, brother, the word saved. So therefore, because I know what the Bible says about someone being saved, you know, like trusting Jesus Christ, died for my sins, rose again, it must mean the same thing. That's why you have to study to rightly divide. He didn't say trust the gospel that you and I believe in. He didn't say trust the death, burial, and resurrection that you and I believe in. He is talking about enduring unto the end. When those things are going to begin to take place, the same shall be saved. But what? What kind of salvation? Is it for the soul? Is it for their physical lives to be preserved until a certain event? Keep reading. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So now you have it. There is going to be a gospel of the kingdom being preached during a specific time frame prior to the end, and now he's beginning to answer their questions, because that's what they asked, the end of the world. So, once again, for those of you who've been with us for our Friday night Bible study, we already discussed to you and we showed you the difference of the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. We understand that there are two aspects of the same kingdom to come, one physical, one spiritual, but just know that there are multiple gospels in the Bible. So that's why when we go out there on a Thursday night or on a Saturday, we ask friends, how do you know you're saved? What did you trust in? They say the gospel. We ask them, what is the gospel? We ask them because according to the Bible, it tells us to prove and to try. So this gospel of the kingdom is not the same concerning Christ dying for your sins. This is a unique gospel being preached at that time. That's why you need to rightly divide. But we don't have time to get into it now. Just keep reading. When ye therefore, now listen, he's talking to the disciples. Where are they at? On the Mount of Olives. Where? Jerusalem, before or after the cross, before, there's still a temple. He's talking to his disciples. He's telling them, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, and now you have to go to your Old Testament. Jesus Christ quoted the word of God, the Old Testament. He's going to tell them that there's going to be a fulfillment that God already gave back in those days. Go back now and study when you get a chance. Stand in the holy place. What is the holy place? That is the temple. The Holy of Holies. So yes, there will be a temple rebuilt. Is there a temple rebuilt now? No. Is it in the process of being built? The last time that I checked some radical news media outlet, it is in the process of being assembled and built by a group of Orthodox Jews in Jerusalem, some college group, what have you. They're getting the priesthood reestablished. They're trying to get the red heifer, you know, all those things. They're trying to get in line, the gold and all the things. They're trying, and they're going to get it. It's going to happen in time. So just know, it all has to deal and focus now with one people group and one place. Not the whole earth. One place, Jerusalem. So now you have it. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Now you got to study, friend. You got to study. Then let them which be in California flee into the mountains. Is that what it says? No. Judea, flee into the mountains. Because this is all going to take place in Jerusalem. So you see how we're just breaking it down. I'm taking my time with this now real quick, but I'm telling you, so many Christians want to read into this and say, well, that's going to happen here in California or New York or Arizona or Mexico. No, the focus right here is Jerusalem. The focus right here is the people of Israel. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, because Jews have housetops that they live on, they fellowship on, like a balcony, if you will. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. So when that abomination is set up in the temple, the Jews that are out and about, whatever working, and the ladies hanging out over there, or some fellows over there, when they hear that and they see that, Jesus forewarned them, do not go back to your house. Do not go back into the temple. Don't go back to the city. You better run. You better run, boy. Look at verse 19. Woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. So what's the warning and what's the sad reality? Pregnant women during that time. Jesus said, it's gonna be trouble for them. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. He's just asking, hopefully when all that stuff starts going down, that it's not winter, because it's going to get chilly, it's going to be cold. And number two, the law. Remember, these are Jews. They're going to be honoring that law, right? They're going to restrict their travels because of the Sabbath. So hopefully it doesn't happen on that time. Now, 21, for then, so now there's a time frame. So the word then appeared many, many times. I don't know if you guys are catching that. Then. So it's a future. Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now look at what he said earlier. He that endures unto the end shall be saved. Look at how Jesus explains himself in verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And I taught you guys at church, the elect is always a reference to the nation of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his seed, the nation of Israel. And the only other elect, or elect one, if you will, that is referenced in your Bible is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We, once we're placed in Christ, we are likened with him in that sense, chosen because of Christ. But nevertheless, the Christian is not elect. It is Christ who is elect. Number two, the nation of Israel, the promises given Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they are elect for the Father's sake. Look at verse 22 again. There should no flesh be saved, because during that time of great tribulation, all the earth is going to be under a government power. It's going to be difficult to buy bread. It's going to be difficult to survive if you don't get the mark. So you're just physically You're gonna physically die, but if you endure physically, is what he was saying earlier, that's how you're gonna live. Question, go ahead, comment. Yep. Mm-hmm. And if they don't trust the Bible gospel, they get left behind. So much for them trying to assemble on Saturday when the whole earth is going to hell. Amen. So they're like, we got to hang out here for 2 hours and then go home, man. I'm not going to be left behind. But if those Seventh-day Adventists are left behind, so much for Saturday, I don't give a dang. I'm going to try to survive. Amen. I'm dying out here with no food, because they're going to try to resist the mark and all that, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, that's a good point. You can bring that up in a discussion concerning that. And you can just say, hey, Jesus taught about the future days, that he hopes that you don't travel on that time frame, because look at that. They're going to need to escape that. So that's a good point to bring up, to challenge their methodology, right? That's good. So look at how Christ explains about enduring unto the end, being saved. It is a matter of physical life being preserved. Now, the elect, we already told you about that concerning Israel. Now, look at verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. So if anybody says, hey, Jesus is this Russian guy in Russia, don't believe it. If he says Jesus is some Colombian guy in Colombia, don't believe it. If they start saying that Jesus is some Puerto Rican guy in Florida right now, don't believe it. Don't believe it. For there shall arise false Christ. So he already told his disciples, watch out for the deceivers. Watch out for the false prophets. Watch out for the false messiahs. He warns more about what's going to be false than the truth. Isn't that unique there? There shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So during that time of tribulation, there is going to be a lot of signs and wonders being performed. So then what you're going to do, brother and sister, you're going to look that up in your Bible, signs and wonders, and then you're going to remember, wait a second, I thought I heard about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. So then you're going to go there, and then we're going to read together. And then let's go ahead and read together now in verse number 8. Well, you know what, guys? Let's go ahead and read verse number 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Go ahead and turn your Bible there. And just to recapture your mind, for those of you guys who tune in and tune out, what are we talking about? We're just breaking down Matthew 24, of how Jesus is talking about the nation of Israel during the time of tribulation and then great tribulation. And he is giving his disciples the warning of false doctrine, false prophets, false teachers who are going to try to deceive the elect, the Israelites during that time. He's not talking about the church. We didn't read that so far. Amen. I hope you're following along. We didn't read nothing about the Christian. We didn't read nothing about, no. We're reading about the people of the earth at that time, specifically the people group of Israel and what's going to go down over there. And now he's given them all the answers to their question earlier in Matthew 24 of the sign of his coming, the end of the world, and when these things shall be. He's answering them. Right now, I'm going to show you signs and wonders. Jesus said during that time, that's what's going to rise. Who's behind that? Let's look real quick. 2 Thessalonians 2. All right, now this is the Apostle Paul. He is writing to Christians. Now this is going to be beneficial for our understanding. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's coming back, and by our gathering together into him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Isn't that amazing? That Paul told Christians a long time ago, before they had social media, before they had TikTok, before they had Instagram, before they had Facebook, before they had the news, and they can listen to whatever Christian supposed pastor on an online platform say, this is what's going to go on. Look out for this in the economy. Look at the corruption in this government. And they try to just post videos to make you troubled. That's why I tell you, friend, you got to watch out who you're listening to on these YouTube videos. Because if they're not trying to help you to just stay on Jesus, minding Jesus and the Word of God, and they just want to rabbit trail you with the vaccine this and the government this and the Illuminati and the Roman Catholic Church, guys, they're going to trouble you. And then you're going to start tripping out. You're going to start meditating more on that than Jesus and the Bible and your salvation and winning souls. Verse 3, let no man deceive you. Sounds like Jesus, amen, what he said earlier in Matthew 24. He says, by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So before the rapture, there's going to be a lot of Christians that are going to fall away from the faith. Now, the debate is whether the Antichrist is going to be revealed at that moment or thereafter. I'm not here to pick a bone with you. All I'm here to tell you is that at some point in that within that realm, if you will, I'm just going to generally say it like that because there's a lot of people that want to argue and debate again about these things. If God did not give us more light or details on that, then don't speculate and don't entertain some guy who you think has a lot more knowledge on that than what the Bible gives you. God didn't say that we will visibly see the Antichrist. We will visibly know his name. We will see him come to power. It just says, be revealed. It could be locally. It could be globally, universally. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, don't be troubled. Don't listen too much about who the Antichrist is, 666, the Catholic Church, and all the... Don't be troubled. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. That's all I'm going to tell you about, amen? Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So what did Jesus say back there in Matthew 24? He is telling those disciples, when you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, that is the Antichrist. Now, you see, we're just showing you Bible with Bible. The Antichrist is going to establish himself, and he is going to tell the Jews and the whole earth at that time, I'm God. That's what he's going to do. Now, are you going to be here for that? I'm not going to be here for that. I hope you're not here for that. Amen. You need to be born again. Make sure you're saved, because we are going to be caught up before all that goes down. But God already gave you the Bible. He already told you what to look out for and what not to look out for. He said in verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? He already talked to you about it. So move on. Now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So friend, don't worry about who is the Antichrist. Who's that evil guy that's going to run the whole earth and take over the money and the economic system and the religious. Don't entertain your mind with all those videos of whatever Christian you like so much, because Jesus is going to destroy him. So you entertain yourself for a little bit with the movie and the YouTube. I get it, because it entices your mind. You want to know, and you want to know the evil. But guys, wouldn't you rather know the good? Wouldn't you rather meditate on the Lord who's going to destroy that guy? I'm not tripping. I don't care who it is. I care about you learning more about Christ, coming to church, being faithful, teaching you some basic stuff, and then I care about going out and winning souls. Amen? That's free. Look at verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Now listen. With all power and signs and lying wonders. So Jesus told the disciples, those days are going to be shortened for the elect's sake. That's Israel. Number two, those days are going to be filled with a lot of signs and wonders. That's what Jesus said. So when the Holy Ghost, through Paul, writing to the Christians, tells them about those days, he already told you, lying wonders. So who is going to be behind all the supposed miracles, all the supposed healings, all the supposed deliverances? It's going to be Satan. That's why our church, a Bible-believing church, we do not stress on the signs, wonders, and miracles. Why? Because we have the Bible. We already have all the Word of God. And all you need to do is believe it and obey it. You say, Brother Carlos, can you please remind me? Because I know I watch these YouTube videos. I do give myself over to some of these entertainments once in a while. And I mean, that guy prayed for that guy, and it really looks like his leg grew like an inch. Or, you know, the guy got healed of cancer. Or, you know, the guy got, you know, his ear, you know, healed and some weird things like that. Okay, let me give you guys two verses on why you need to be more focused on the Bible than those videos. So turn first, number one, let's go to Romans chapter number 10, and then we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Romans 10, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What is more important? What should be more important? Watching videos about people getting healed, supernatural signs and wonders, or the Bible? The Bible. What increases your faith? Watching something with your eyes or reading the Word of God? What increases your faith? Seeing some guy supposedly healed or some girl with a devil possession in Africa or Colombia or Mexico, or the Word of God? It's the Bible. The problem is we just don't want to read our Bible because we're lazy. And number two, it calls us out when we're not being faithful to God. So what do? We tickle ourselves. We watch some videos and we're like, man, look at that's cool. That guy just got supernaturally delivered. I mean, the guy is like, wah-da-da-da-da. And then some guy's like, oh, and then the devil comes out. And, oh, that's exciting. God's Holy Spirit must be working over here, y'all. No, he's in here. But the way he works is through that Bible, through the Word of God. Look at Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by. Oh, let's try that one more time, guys. So then faith cometh by? All right, one more time, guys. One more time. I don't know if you guys are hearing that. So then faith cometh by? And by the? Did it say the miracles? No. Did it say the healings? No. Did it say the signs and the wonders? No. The Word of God. So you say, Pastor, what are you telling me, that I just need to read more of the Bible? That's right. I just need to meditate more on the Word of God? That's right. What is going to help me to want to do more for God? The Word of God. What's going to help me to be more faithful to God? The Word of God. What's going to help me to be a better Christian, a better husband, a better wife, a better child to your parents? The Word of God. This is where faith comes from, and this is where faith is motivated, and this is where faith is increased. Okay, the second verse, real quick, 2 Corinthians 5. These are not in your notes. This is just Brother Carlos. 2 Corinthians 5. Look at verse number 7. Can somebody volunteer to read that out loud? Read it like you're excited, no, y'all. Read it like when you're playing them video games. Go ahead, Brother Gibby. We walk by faith, not by sight. So don't worry about the signs, the miracles, and the wonders that are going to happen. God is going to permit them to happen. If you don't want to be deceived by the guy or the girl that is doing those things and trying to teach something else about God that's not in the Bible, then you stick your nose and your eyes and your ears on the Word of God, and that's how you're going to keep yourself from being deceived, number one, and number two, by those doctrines. All right, now that was free. Let's go back to Matthew 24. We're talking about the tribulation of those days. We're talking about how it's going to go down, what he's warning the disciples of, and then the people that are going to be living at that time. Let's keep going. So there's going to be false messiahs, false Christs. There's going to be false prophets. They're going to show great signs and wonders. God already foretold his disciples, and we have the Bible written for us. We're Christians. We're going to look at that, and we're going to like, whoa, people are going to be operating supernaturally during those times. Behold, I have told you before. So why don't you listen to him? Why don't you just trust Jesus Christ, y'all? Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert. He's over there in Julian. He's in Mexico. He's in China. He's in Africa. You know Jesus. Jesus said, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers. You know, over here, nobody really knows. Jesus is really over here. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, you know, like the sun rising, the sun lighting, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So then he answers their second question. What is the sign of thy coming? You know what Jesus said? Just like that light shines from the east to the west, that's going to be his coming. Powerful. You think he's only going to come and only a few people are going to see him? If he is comparing himself to the light on the whole earth, everybody's going to see him. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. So people are going to be dying. Now watch this, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. So now this is a specific time now, friend, of tribulation, a bad, bad time. Shall the sun be darkened? The moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven. The powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Every single human being that is alive during the days of great tribulation are going to see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven descending, coming back to the earth with power and great glory. How will everybody in the earth see him? Because the light went out. What light? The sun. There ain't no moon. It's going to be pitch black. The only light that your people are going to see then is who? Jesus. But do you think people are going to be happy to see him when all the supernatural judgments are being poured out upon the earth? I mean, read the book of Revelation, guys. There's going to be some hardcore judgments from God. Hailstones that are going to be like 200 pounds. How many of you guys ever seen hail before? Sometimes they're like little ice balls, right? Ice. There is going to be like 200-pound ice falling on people, killing people. There's going to be disease. There's going to be supernatural things going down during that time frame, but that has nothing to do with you if you're listening now as a Christian. So now we know we're dealing with a specific time for a specific people for a specific reason, but they're not going to be happy to see him. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other, and then hence those are going to be the remnant Jews that are going to flee and be preserved. Learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, he putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Everybody's just partying it up when Noah was out there. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So what's going to happen? Life is going to continue. People are going to keep getting married. People are going to keep getting drunk. People are going to continue to have relationships outside of marriage. Homosexuals are going to still do their thing. Gangsters are still going to murder. The elite and rich of the world are still going to do the corruption. Why did he tell you not to worry? Don't be soon shaken in mind, Christian. So, I'm not going to continue with this, but anyways, you guys understand the point. No rapture. This is a physical gathering of the Hebrews from where they're at on the earth to another portion. 561. In other words, the gathering of the elect at the end of Daniel's 70th week will be from the four winds, defined as the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. This gathering points to the same area where the children of Israel were cast out. Nehemiah stated that the children of Israel were cast out to the uttermost part of the heaven. So let's go ahead and do that now. Let's go back up here in Matthew 24, if you're following along. And look at here in verse number 31. Do you see here where it says under the uttermost part of heaven? So let's go ahead and, oh, I'm sorry, Mark 13. That's where that was. The authors parallel the scripture. And you guys want to get more details of what the Lord is speaking of, go ahead and read Matthew 13 as well. Matthew 13, 27. Notice what it says here, to the uttermost part of heaven. So then what we do is we just look up the Bible and we cross-reference the verse. And that's the best way to study your Bible, scripture with scripture. It'll help you understand more of those portions of scripture. Let's go ahead and do here, and then we're going to come here. So look at back in Nehemiah, verse chapter 1, verse number 9. Do you see there? That's what they're making a reference to. Stated here, the children of Israel were cast out to the uttermost part of the heaven and prophesied that they will be gathered from thence and brought together to a chosen place where God sets his name. So look at Nehemiah 1, verse 9. The Bible says, but if ye turn unto me, that's talking to the nation of Israel, and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. So now we have it. It's a physical gathering of the remnant of the Hebrews to another physical gathering where the Lord is going to place them. Okay, it's physical replacement from one place to another. Hope you guys see that. The context found in Mark and in Nehemiah point to a gathering of those cast out, not a departing from the earth. So now you have it. When the Bible says that God cast out the Israelites, he is referring to from their promised land. And they've been scattered, if you will, throughout the ends of the earth. Let's go ahead and look that up real quick. Look up to the screen here. And what we're going to do is we're going to just look up the word scattered. There's a lot of references, but I want to show you where this has to deal with the nation of Israel. Back here in Deuteronomy chapter number 30. By the way, whenever you guys get a chance to read the book of Deuteronomy, if you guys get to read your whole Bible, you're going to see how God is going to give the Hebrews curses and blessings. If they do this, God will do this. If they don't do that, here's what God will still do as a consequence for their choices physically. All right, now look at here, Deuteronomy 30, verse number 1. The Bible says, and it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, you see there, which I have set before thee, thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations. Now watch this, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. So now, the nation of Israel, they were driven out of their promised land when they rebelled against God, when they were taken captive by different Gentile peoples. The most famous is King Nebuchadnezzar during the Babylonian captivity. Remember that? Jeremiah, Daniel, all them guys. Remember Nehemiah, Ezra, when they, at the end of the 7 years, they go back and rebuild there in Jerusalem. But then, since they rejected the Messiah, remember that? They betrayed him. They told Pontius Pilate, his blood be on us. We want Barabbas. We don't want this man, Jesus of Nazareth. They crucified him. That's what the Holy Spirit said in Acts chapter number 2 and 3. They rejected him. So as a consequence for rejecting not only the laws of God, but the Messiah, you know what the Lord did? He scattered them. He drove them out of the promised land, and they've been scattered throughout the whole earth up to date. But prior to the coming, what is he going to do? He is going to gather them back into the land. That's what we're reading in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and now verse 2. And shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart, and with all thy soul. Then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations where the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. Now look at verse 4. If any of thine be driven out unto the outmost parts of heaven. So there you have it, church. There's one more reference to when the Bible uses that unique phrase, uttermost part of heaven, outmost parts of heaven. It is just a reference to another place on the earth. There you go, guys. Bible with Bible. Nothing too crazy. From thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. Isn't that kind of cool? How many of you guys ever fetched before with animals out there playing around with them? Nobody out there? Okay. God is going to fetch his people back. So that's what Matthew 24, Mark 13, during that time of tribulation, prior to the Lord coming back, he is going to fetch the remnant of his people because they're going to put their faith in him. They're going to believe on the Messiah, and the Lord is going to preserve them. So we're almost done at bottom page 561. The context on in Mark and in Nehemiah point to a gathering of those cast out, not a departing from the earth. Two primary purposes for Christ's second advent are to judge the world and to deliver believing Israel by sending his angels before him to gather the elect unto himself in a chosen place. Let's go to Psalm 30. Psalm chapter 30. So we thank God that he is going to honor the promises he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because if he is a God of his word, when he told Abraham, here's what I'm going to do for you. Abraham, you have nothing to give me, but by your faith, remember that? I'm going to do it. When he gave a commandment to his son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever shall call upon him, to them he will give the power to become a son of God and everlasting life, he is going to honor that. So you believe in Almighty God. You and I have a relationship with Jehovah God. We have a relationship with the Most High God because we've been reconciled through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is their Messiah, who will be their king. All right, now look at here, Psalm 30, verse 3. The Bible says here, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye of the saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Whenever you read these kind of psalms, generally think about second coming. Generally think about application to the nation of Israel. All these Hebrews are going to say, wow, God, you had a lot of anger, but you had compassion too. Yes, you judged us and you dealt with us accordingly. Wow, I mean, two-thirds of Israel are going to be, they're going to be taken out. They're going to be slaughtered, but a remnant. The faithful Jew who put their faith in the word of God, when they flee, the Lord is going to preserve them. They're going to say, wow, God, you've been so gracious. We are so sorry for rejecting your son, Jesus Christ, but we believe on him. He is going to supernaturally reveal himself to those folks in the wilderness. Nevertheless, we'll talk about that another night. Let's keep finishing our notes. Israel had and still has a problem with walking by faith. They have grown accustomed to and dependent upon signs. 1 Corinthians 1:22. God, therefore, in his infinite wisdom and boundless mercy, will provide three distinct and visible precursors that is going to announce the return of his son. And here, what are those three signs? Number one, cosmic and earthly disturbances. Cosmic and earthly disturbances. You say, can you give me an example about that, brother? We just read. Remember about the sun? Remember about the moon? So that's the cosmic. There's going to be a sign in the heavens. Number two, the sign of the Son of Man. And number three, Christ's sending his angels for the gathering of the elect. Although no one can be completely certain concerning the duration of the cosmic and earthly disturbances, the second and third precursors seem to provide no time for the unbelieving to repent. So before we come to a close, do me a favor and turn your Bible to the book of Revelation, the last book in your Bible. That should be pretty easy, right, guys? Revelation. Let's go to chapter 1. Revelation 1. I'm going to give you guys a quick nutshell summary. Give me about 5 more minutes to 10, and we'll call it a night. Here's why this is important for you to understand as a Christian. Because you and I are going to be delivered from the time of tribulation and the time of great tribulation, because this is a time of wrath that God is going to pour out upon the inhabitants of the earth. His main focus is to deal with his people of long ago, those whom he foreknew, the Israelites. The beneficiaries of that are the rest of the Gentiles who are just surviving on the earth with their governments and their idols and their cultures. But during that time, he is going to be pouring out his wrath. His heart is to save. Time and time again, friend, no matter what dispensation we're in, God offers men a space of time to repent. It's always been a matter of free will. But time and time has proven again, even if God were to show you a sign from heaven, even if God were to raise his son from the dead, even if God were to send some Christians to your house and heal somebody that was sick, your heart still may just not want to say, Jesus, I believe in you, and my life will be sold out to serve you for the rest of my life. We still have problems. Can I get an amen? So with that said, when you read the book of Revelation, it's not a scary book. It's a book that's just truth. God said, and they still didn't repent of their idolatries and of their sorceries to give God, the one true God, the glory, because that's just the heart of man throughout time. So look at here, Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, that's talking about the Father, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. You see, from God's vantage point, how long is it? Short. How about that, guys? You like that, huh? To us, it seems forever. But to God, it's just going to happen real quick, y'all. What did he say in Matthew 24? Unless the days had been shortened. They're going to shortly come to pass. Now, it's going to be feeling like a lifetime to those inhabitants. That's why you better get saved. Amen. You're not going to be here. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So the Father gives a revelation to the Son. The Son says, hey, angel, come over here. I want you to give this word down to John in the island of Patmos. Verse 2. John says, who bore record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Now look at verse 3. Anybody want to be blessed tonight before you go? Anybody want to be blessed by Jesus Christ? Anybody out there? Raise your hand. Look at verse 3. Blessed is he that... You want to be blessed? Read. One more time. You want to be blessed? Read. Read, 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 y'all. If there's anything you'd remember from tonight, Brother Carlos just told me to read the Bible. There you go, okay? If you lost everything else, amen. And they that hear. All right, who wants to be blessed? So what do you got to do? You got to read and you got to hear. But there's one more thing, Diego, look. And keep those things which are written there and you got to obey. So three things. What do we want to do? Read. Hear, obey. Let's say it one more time. Read, hear, obey. They that hear the words of this prophecy, keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. It's at hand. Now look at verse 4. Real quick. We're almost done. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you. Peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's why you and I will not be here during the time of tribulation and great tribulation, that 7-year period. Why? Because the Savior who was offered you before his second coming, you responded. You believed in him. What did he already offer on your behalf? His blood. What payment did he already pay? The penalty for your sins. When you said, Lord Jesus, would you save me a sinner? He saved you. He washed you. He sanctified you. And you know what he said? He made you a king and a priest unto God and his Father. So if there's going to be a time of wrath poured on the earth, for what? Their sin, their unbelief, their rebellion. And yet your sins were forgiven and washed when you put your faith in him. You're not going to have to pay for any of that because it was already paid for. That's why you got to study. That's why you got to rightly divide this book. Now look at verse number 7. Almost done. Behold, he cometh with clouds. He's coming. Remember what I said earlier? Jesus said when everybody sees him on the earth, they're going to wail. They're going to cry. They're not going to say, oh, he's here, Jesus. Yeah, come on down and heal us right on over here. No, they're going to be like, no, no, not him. Look at verse 7. Every eye shall see him. They also which pierce him. So there's the Hebrew, the remnant. And all the kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. They're not going to be happy when King Jesus comes back to rule this earth. They're going to wail, no, no, no. So even with the cosmic disturbances, even with the sun going out, even with the moon turning into blood, even when the stars are falling from heaven and all these supernatural things are going to take place, you think the heart of man will say, I better trust God Almighty right now because there's some going down. I may not comprehend, but I better believe in this God before this all goes down. No, no. The heart says, no, We don't want that God. We don't want him. They enjoy too much of their sin. So he writes, go a couple of chapters to the right with me. He writes to the churches. John is raptured into heaven. He's in this heavenly scene. There is going to be a book given to Jesus from the Father. And in this book is where all these judgments are written, and they're going to be poured out upon the earth. And when you read this in Revelation 5, you'll begin to see those things. And when he begins to open the seals from Revelation chapter 6 onward, guys, everything you and I have already heard about, some of you guys may not know that yet because you haven't read your Bible, and that's okay. But you've heard about Armageddon. You heard about the end days and how it's just going to be crazy with people killing each other and judgment from God. Start reading from Revelation 6 onward, guys. All those things are going to start going on. But he is going to preserve his people that he promised, because he made one man a promise a long time ago. And that man was Abraham. And when he believed that God was going to fulfill it, he made a promise to his son, Jesus Christ. Whosoever calls upon you, son, I'll save their soul. I'll deliver them from this wrath to come. Whoever believes that will receive that. So now, friend, as we come to a close, what are we talking about? The nation of Israel. They still have their promises. God is still going to fulfill them. And when he does, it is going to be a time like no other. It is going to happen. It's going to be a time of tribulation. It's going to be a time of great tribulation during the middle of the 3.5 years. We'll talk about all those verses to come. That's why, friend, what should we be doing until then? Should we be watching then those silly YouTube video guys and those preachers and pastors who are trying to tickle your ears with the Antichrist, 666, and the Illuminati and the government? No, you should not be. Paul said, don't be soon shaken in mind, as if that day has come. Right now, as Christians, we should be looking to Jesus. We should be studying our Bible, and we should be supporting our pastor to go win souls. Because if your family members and if your friends are here on the earth and they miss the rapture because they did not want to trust Jesus Christ, it's not about coming to church. It's trusting Jesus Christ. It's not about reading their Bible as much as we want them to. It's about trusting Jesus Christ. Friend, if they are left here, they will most likely die. Because if they don't take that mark, and if they don't have military power to fight the devil, Antichrist, they're going to die. They're going to die, and if they die, they're most likely to go to hell. And when they go to hell, they're going to be in there for 1,000 years. And at the end of that 1,000 years, great-great-granddaddy, your tia, your tio, maybe your brother, maybe your sister, maybe your parents, maybe your grandparents, you're going to see them rise from the dead. And God Almighty is going to judge them for all their works and all their secret thoughts. And you're going to weep, and you're going to see them. And they're going to be cast into a lake of fire. It's going to be real sad. That's why we are trying to tell them, trust Jesus Christ today. Be saved from your sin. God, your creator, the maker, he does not want to judge you. He doesn't want to send you to the hellfire. He wants you to receive this gift of everlasting life. But friend, you got to be willing to repent. You say, Brother Carlos, I try. But my dad, my mom, my friends, they don't want to stop the drinking. They don't want to stop having the relationships with girls and boys. They're more into their video games, and they're more into the music. All right, but you did your job. You don't stop. You keep going. There are more people that need to hear the good news. Amen? Anybody have any questions, comments about what we talked about tonight? Anybody out there? Questions, comments? Or another question, comment about something else? Anybody out there? No questions, comments? Sure, go ahead, sis. Okay. Yeah. So question is why did I make reference to the word Jehovah? So I didn't call Jesus Jehovah. I said Jehovah God. So Jehovah is God's name. That's what the Bible says there in the book of Exodus. And then let me just going to show you this real quick. I'll type it in here. And by the way, if you have a computer and you want this Bible study software, we'll give it to you. Okay. That way you can study all these cool things. So just look up to the screen. Praise the Lord. We got technology. Exodus 6:3. This is God talking to Moses. You remember that a little bit, right? I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Look at Psalm 83:18, Jehovah. Isaiah 12:2, the Lord Jehovah. Trust in the Lord Jehovah. Jehovah is God, and that's God the Father's name, Jehovah, Almighty God. Jesus Christ, now, Look at here. Jesus Christ is the name given the man born. In other words, when, and I know we're talking about some crazy stuff, so just bear with me, sis, and we'll get there. Remember when Jesus Christ was born? Well, the angel appeared unto Mary, and here's what she told his mother to name her son. Look at verse 21 of Matthew 1. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There's no Jesus in the Old Testament. There's Jehovah God, because that's the name of Almighty God, the God of Israel, the Father. But when the eternal Word enters into the womb of Mary, and that body that was prepared by God for him to inhabit, and that body is born, the name given to that child is Jesus. So, we have a relationship with the God of Israel. Remember, we have been reconciled to our Creator. We have been reconciled back to God, if you will, the Creator. And that Creator's name is God, the Father. You can call him Abba. You can call him Daddy. That's what that means. I'll show you this one here. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. And that's the good news of being a Christian, sister, because now we have a personal relationship with the Creator, and it has become so intimate and close, we can call him Abba. Look at Romans 8, verse number 15. The Bible says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is just a Hebrew word, like little children call their daddy, Daddy. We can call Abba, Father. We can call him Daddy. Hey, Father, please, would you hear me? So we pray to God the Father through his son, Jesus Christ, because he's the mediator. He's the one who represents us before the Father. Does that make sense? So what's the Father's name? Jehovah God. He is Jehovah. He is Almighty God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the people of Israel. We worship that God because we received his son, Jesus. So we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, his son, and that's how we pray. Nothing wrong with saying, Lord Jesus, would you hear me? And of course, you're praying to the Godhead. They're all one. I'll give you one more on this one, sister, because you got me excited now. Look at that. The coffee's kicking in too, Brother Giovanni. So 1 John 5:7, again, they're all one. The Bible says there are three that are by record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and Sister Eileen, the Word, that's Jesus. But he wasn't called Jesus in the Old Testament. His name or his title, if you will, was the Word. The Word was made flesh, and that body that was given the Word to inhabit, his name was given Jesus. And then lastly, the Holy Ghost. But they're all one. So when you're praying to God, you're talking to the Godhead. But when I pray, I tell my wife, hey, we're praying to the Father through Jesus, his son. Does that make sense? Did I answer your question now? Okay. Anybody else? Comments or questions about what we talked about? Any other question? Anybody else out there? Go ahead, Gibby. Yes. Did you see the verse though? In Exodus? Yep. Now, just be careful because obviously the Jehovah's Witnesses, they make a big deal about it. And me and Brother Manny, we were witnessing to them in the mall the other day. And by the way, the guy, they bailed on their challenge. The lady was very interested. She said, I'll give you a challenge. Just pray to Jehovah. I said, girl, I pray to Jehovah all the time. Amen. He's my daddy. He's my father. Amen. That's no problem. Jehovah, thank you. Amen. I said, I want to give you a challenge too. Would you read the Bible with me though? And if the Bible proves your religion wrong, would you trust it? She said, yes. They bailed. Rich and Cindy were their name. You know what he said to me, Brother Joe? He said, we don't want to debate. We don't want to discuss. We're very kind of, we thank you for your kindness, but just read the online links on JW.org. I said, oh, come on, guys. You don't want to talk like a human. So anyways, yes. So yeah, they just want to, for some reason, they just want to make a big deal about the name of God, Jehovah. And it has nothing to do with everything else. You want to know what God esteems above his name? How about this? Oh, nobody heard her. All right. I already promised you a cake, amen. Three leches. Hey, but here's my other promise. I'll buy somebody a smoothie right now or another day. Can somebody tell me right now what is more important than God's name according to the Bible? Anybody out there? You've heard it before. Somebody said it before. You sure about that? Okay, I want somebody to give me confidently. Anybody out there? Go ahead, Diego. Nope. Okay, I'll make it even better. I'll get you dinner. That's a drink, fries, and a burger. I want you to be confident, Gibby, when you say it. What did you? Yes, you did. Say it again. The word of God. Say, can you show me though? Ask me. Can you show me? All right, guys, let's go to Psalm 148, and then if nobody else has any questions, we'll finish on this last note. Psalm 148. Psalm 148. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's not Psalm 148. Where is it at? Where is my Bible memory, y'all? Oh, Psalm 138. Psalm 138. This is why we, as Bible-believing Christians, we put emphasis on the Word of God, because God said, you know what's higher than my name? My word. Somebody read verse number 2 and then we'll close in prayer. Somebody out there. A little bolder, man. Come on. I know you get more excited. So the next time you talk to a JW or they want to argue with you, Jehovah, you say, yeah. He's my daddy. But you know what my dad says is more important than his name? His word. How about that? That's good. That's good. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our Friday night discipleship class. I'm just so thankful, God, to see our members here excited about the Bible. Some of them are a little tired. I know, God. I can see it in their eyes, Lord. But, Lord, I know it makes you happy when they exercise faith in the Bible, God. And without faith, it's impossible to please you, God. So I'm happy, God, to see their little faith, Lord, being exercised tonight, coming to a Friday night discipleship class. So, God, I thank you. And, Lord, I know it was a lot of information we talked about, but most importantly, what I can take from tonight, Lord, is application is help me and help us not to be deceived by people out there, people online, people that may tickle our ears by, oh, what about that or what about this, when the Bible should just be our meditation day and night. You, Lord Jesus, should be our focus. And being faithful to you, Lord, being a faithful church member, being a faithful Christian, being a faithful soul winner, those things far outweigh all the secret teachings that we may not know yet, or all those mysterious things that people are trying to put out there. You've told us, God, not to be soon shaken in mind. So, God, would you protect our little church, God, and help us to keep growing in the basics so we'll have desire to be those basics, but help us to be blessed, like you said in Revelation. Help us to not only want to read the Bible, hear the Bible, but obey it, God. We thank you for tonight. Help us to get back home safely. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, church. I love you guys. God bless you. Thank you for coming to discipleship class. Amen. The Lord bless.